Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning. This is week two of our series called Praying Bold Prayers. And I want to say a special thanks to everyone who joined us this week at 6 a.m. or 7 p.m. every night this week. There's a group of us up here praying, and many of you came on different mornings or different nights. I even got some text messages from some of you saying, hey, Pastor, can't come, but I'm joining you from home, or I'm joining you from work, or all these different places. Thank you so much for joining us in prayer. And I do want to call your attention to this bookmark we gave out last Sunday about praying bold prayers. I don't want you to think that, well, you know, that week of prayer is over, so I can throw that away. And if you didn't get one of these, there's a nice little holder full of these out in the foyer on the Connect desk. I'd love for you to get one before you leave today, because these are actually seven prayers we're praying, not just this week. We're going to be praying these prayers all week long. And maybe you've struggled when it comes to prayer. Maybe you've said, Pastor, you know, sometimes I kneel and I really don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. You know, you could use this as a really good guide just daily to pray through some things that are very important that we're praying as a church today. And so I would challenge you, if you don't have one of these, pick one up. If you did go to get one of these, don't throw it away. Either put it in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever one you visit the most. Put it there so you can see it and you can pray with us all year long, because we're learning how to pray. What kind of prayers? Bold prayers, not generic prayers, not prayers so powerless they make you fall asleep when you're listening to them. Bold prayers. Well, Pastor, why should we pray bold prayers this year? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16 says this: let us then come, what's that word? Boldly through the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I want to tell you three things about that scripture, just in case you weren't here last week. And by the time I reiterate this for the next 6 or 7 weeks, you're going to have it by heart and you can preach it better than I can. But here's the three reasons why we got to pray bold prayers. Number one, the Lord tells us to come boldly, not sheepishly. I want to remind you this morning that though we are servants of God, we do not approach God as if we are servants approaching a master. Instead, we approach God as sons and daughters approaching their heavenly Father. That's why Jesus said, when you get ready to pray, He said, you don't pray my master. He said, pray my Father which art in heaven. I don't know about you, but when my kids need something, they don't come knocking on my door. They just walk through the door. Right? Why? Because they're my kids. Right? They're my kids, so we can come boldly. Second thing I want you to know is that we serve a gracious God. I want to ask you to say this with me: my God is gracious. Amen. Your God is not stingy. Your God is not withholding. Your God is not trying to keep things from you. Your God is trying His very best to get things to you. God is a gracious God. The Word even says He desires to give good gifts to His children. Then the last thing I want to remind you is He is our source. The scripture says, there, right? Where's there? There, the throne of God, the presence of God. There, you will find strength. You will find help. You will find what you need in the moment the scripture says that you need it most. So our God is the real source. He's not a temporary fix. He's not a God that provides what we need to just get us by. He's the God that gives us what we need to get us through, to get us through this life. So remember, God's called us to pray what kind of prayers? Bold prayers. I just want to tell you, our ship is leaning today. Have y'all noticed that? Y'all know what that means? Like this side of the boat is really heavy this morning, and this side of the boat is really, really thin. So guys, y'all gotta shout louder to keep your boat level, okay? And that don't mean you guys need to be quiet, by the way. Y'all just go ahead and shout anyway. It's just like I'm kind of leaning here this morning while I'm preaching. Today, the bold prayer. Every week we're talking about what bold prayer should I pray. And this prayer I'm going to tell you to pray this morning, it may not seem so intimidating on the outset, but as I talk about this morning, I think you'll discover why this prayer is so bold that it must be prayed. And the prayer I want to talk to you about praying this morning is simply this prayer: Lord, open my eyes. A few months ago, after years of denial, I finally broke down and I went to the eye doctor. And he prescribed to me these dudes. Now, how many of you have seen me wear my glasses? I can't see who's raising their hand, so I don't know if you did or not. But apparently, as you get a little bit older, not that I'm getting old, but apparently as you get a little bit older, your vision begins to wane, and you need some sort of device to help you see what you couldn't see before. I want to tell you, I want to just cut to the chase this morning. When it comes to spiritual things in our life, we live in a world that the messaging, the reality, the bombarding of what's going on in our world today, it has tried its very best to dim your vision of God, who He is, what He can do, and what He has for you. And so we need some sort of device, some type of visual device to help us see what God wants us to see. And that device is the Holy Spirit of God that opens our eyes to things that we didn't see before. You know, how many would admit you've all been through a season where you didn't see things like you needed to see them, right? Maybe people who were actually trying to help you, you thought they were trying to hurt you. There were people taking advantage of you that you couldn't even recognize they were taking advantage of you in the moment. You couldn't see that you were in a self-destructive cycle, perhaps, but you couldn't even see the self-destructive cycle you were in, even though maybe you had some people who loved you that told you, man, stop doing this, it's harmful for you. You couldn't see what you couldn't see. You needed your eyes to be open. I think we've all had seasons of our life, and I would challenge you in this way. We all have some blind spots today. We continue to need the Holy Spirit to help us open our eyes in. And God is able to open our eyes and enable us to see what we can't see. In 2 Kings, we find this prayer prayed in chapter 6, verse number 15. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army of horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elijah prayed. Here's the bold prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army, this enemy army, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha asked, and Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. And after they entered the city, Elisha said, now, Lord, open their eyes of these men so they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and as they looked, they were inside the city. And the king of Israel saw them and asked Elisha, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And Elisha said, don't kill them. Would you kill those you've captured with your own sword or bow? So he said, set food and water before them that they may eat and drink, and then go back to the master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. Listen to this. So the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful that your word needs no anointing. It needs no help. It always goes forth and accomplishes what it was set forth to accomplish and do. And we know that that's going to happen this morning. But Father, we need your help. Lord, we need your help to speak what you want spoken. We need help as this congregation. We all need your help to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. Elisha prayed this prayer. Here's our bold prayer for today. Lord, open his eyes. Or Lord, open my eye. Chances are, in your life right now, there's someone in your life that you've been praying, Lord, open their eyes. Maybe it's a child that's running from God. Maybe it's a grandchild that's running from God. Maybe you're praying over a loved one that just thinks their life is impossible. There's no way that God could ever restore the brokenness that they're going through or free them from the addiction they're facing. Maybe you've been praying over a person in your life that just can't see the potential that God wants to produce in your job or in a ministry. Or maybe, just maybe, probably not, but maybe God is wanting to actually, or needing to open our eyes. Maybe we need our eyes. See, when I read this account about Elisha and his servant being surrounded by an invading army, by an enemy army, I wish I could tell you that like Elisha, when I wake up and I see my life is surrounded by trouble, by enemies, by people trying to destroy me, I wish I could tell you that all of my life, when I see that happening, I respond with faith and I always just say, God's got this. But honestly, too many times when I'm surrounded by the enemy, instead of saying, God's got this, my immediate reaction is more like this servant, and I just kind of freak out for a moment. You picking up what I'm putting down? That's what the servant was doing. He's like, Lord, he said, Elisha, look, we're surrounded. There's no way out of this thing. I wish I had the faith of Elisha just to say, hey, there's something you're not seeing, young man. But too often, I'm the young man that can't see what I'm supposed to be seeing. And I think we're all like that from time to time. We see with the natural and not with the supernatural. I believe that God's wanting to get us to the place that when we see problems in our life, when we see enemy advances in our life, that we don't just see the enemy that's surrounding us, but we also see the power of God, the greater power of God that is surrounding them. That the moments we feel like our life is hopeless, we understand that we can look through or past the hopeless situation and see that the God we serve is very much present. But in order for that to happen, we have to pray bold prayers like this. Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see what you want me to see. Well, Pastor, how can I pray a bold prayer like that? I want to give you a few ways this morning. Number one, we have to confess that we can't live by what we see. The servant of the man of God got up and he saw chariots, he saw horses, he saw men, he saw swords, he saw spears, he saw an army that was greater than him, and he saw all this surrounding his city. And friends, if you saw that, if you woke up this morning and there was a band of 100 people gathering your house with types of ammunition and guns ready to take over your house, your property, your family, you would have a little bit of a concerning moment as well. But friends, we have to understand there's more to life than what we can see. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. How many think that's good news today? That what you're worried about today, what you're stressing about today, what has got you keeping up at night, what's robbed you of your sleep, those things you can see, they soon will be gone. But friends, can I tell you the help that you can't see, it's never going to leave you. It's never going to forsake you. That help will be with you every step of your life. So we got to confess that I can't live by what I see. You know, we live in a world today, I'm not trying to go anywhere except for just be honest. We live in a season where depending on what channel you watch determines what news you get. You receive. How about that? We have social media tycoons who are trying to control what you see and what you believe. I'll just put this out here. There's church services being censored and taken off the air off Facebook every single week. It's happening. We have agendas being pushed down our throats in different education systems, both public school and college format as well, where there's a blatant agenda to sell the next generation a book of lies that are opposing to God's word. There's all these areas of that the enemy is trying to deceive us, trying to have his way with us, that's trying to blind us to who God is, what God wants to do, what promises he has for your life, and also blind you to the very real agenda of the enemy for your life today. But friends, as much as that stuff bothers me, can I tell you the biggest deceptor I have in my life is not those forces on the outside, it's the voice on the inside. One of the most deceptive people in my life is this 6 foot, 225 pound bald guy that looks at me every morning in the mirror. If you hadn't figured out who's sneaking in my house every morning, I'll tell you, it's me. How many would you say sometimes our biggest problem is we deceive ourselves? Right? We know the truth, but we justify what we want to do. We know what God's word says, but we come up with really good reasons why this one time in my life it doesn't apply to me. And in those moments, that's when we got to have this prayer that says, God, open my eyes to not just the outside forces, but Lord, open my eyes to the desires of my flesh that is trying to see me right now. See, there's things that we can see, but we can't trust. You can't live by what you see. You can't take comfort in what you see. What you see changes. The stock market goes up and down, left and right. The economy goes up and down. Our health can change in a moment. Your job can change in a moment. You can be outsourced, or your job can be consolidated, or your skill can be obsolete in just a moment. I mean, how many of you ever worked at a Blockbuster video store? Right? You may have been the best tape rewinder on the planet, and now it no longer exists. And some of you are like saying, what in the world is a Blockbuster video store? Well, just go Google it later. I'm just saying, you can't trust what you see. I'll tell you, one of the gifts that God has put in my life are people who help me see what I can't see. We all need people in our life that will help us see what we can't see. There's been people that Megan hasn't, she hasn't smiled, she hasn't jokingly said it. There's just been people, Megan walked up to me, my wife, has walked up to me and said, stay away from that person. Doesn't that sound mean? I've had other ministers in my life that said, so Greg, stay away from that person. Stay away from that ministry. Stay away from that opportunity. Stay away from that. And you can say, man, that seems so narrow-minded. So that seems so limiting, so judgmental. No, it's not judgmental. It's that they have the ability to see what I can't see. Friends, we all need people to help us see what we can't see. And we definitely need the Holy Spirit of God to help us see what we can't see. Because, friends, when the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we can't see, it's never that we walk away from His revealing our eyes saying, oh man, now I'm losing out. No, you walk away from God opening your eyes and saying, thank you, Lord, for letting me see what I could not see. You know, there's two people that were deceived in this story. The first person was the servant. I told you, I'm a lot like him sometimes. I wake up and what I see, it depresses me, it scares me, it bothers me. And he was very easily deceived. If you're going to live by what you see, you have to understand, you're going to be very easily deceived that life is over when it's not over. You're going to be very easily deceived that there's no help of God available to you when there's plenty of help of God available to you. If you're just going to live by what you see, you're going to be very easily deceived. This servant was easily deceived because he thought what he saw was all there was. But you know, there's someone else in this story who was deceived. It was that invading army, right? After Elijah prayed for God to open the eyes of his servant, then he prayed a different prayer. He said, God, now blind the eyes of this enemy army. And Elijah walked down to them, and somehow when God blinded them, he didn't blind them like they couldn't see at all. He sort of confused them. So that when Elisha walked down there, they weren't threatened by Elisha. They saw Elisha, but they didn't see the army with Elisha. They were looking. How many understand? They showed up. I didn't bring this out, but you're going to pick it up. The reason they surrounded that city in the first place is they were looking for Elisha. Right? They were there to kill him. And now the guy that they're there to kill is walking out to them, and he says, listen, the person you're looking for in the city you're looking for, he's not here, and this isn't it. And then they begin to follow Elisha. The person they're supposed to be trying to kill, the person they're supposed to be trying to take captive, is now leading them into an ambush. And friends, I just want to tell you, the enemy has God has the power to deceive not only us, but if we're not, if we're not fixated on who our help is, our solution is, we are all making ourselves easily available to be tempted. So we have to keep our eyes open. Secondly, this morning, we have to realize that there's more than what I see. First point is, I can't live by what I see. But the second point is, you got to understand there's more than what I see. Elisha said, don't be afraid. There are those with us that are more than those with them. Elisha did not deny the presence of the enemy. How many know that faith isn't denying reality. Right? If you want to get your Bibles out, the person in the Word of God who supposedly has the greatest faith, the father of faith, his name is Abraham. And when the Bible talks about in Hebrews chapter 11 about the faith of Abraham, it says these words: Abraham considered his body as good as dead. In other words, he didn't argue the fact, he didn't deny the fact that he was 100 years old and now he's supposed to be having a child. No, he understood that God is able. He understood that his body was dead. He understood in his own resources this is impossible, but he didn't allow what he could see blind him to the promise of God that he couldn't see yet. Friends, I want to tell you, you can't live your life by what you see, but you have to confess that what I don't see is greater than what I do see. See, this servant of Elisha's, he lacked what I would call spiritual awareness. He could only see what was in the physical, but he couldn't see what was in the spiritual. And, you know, there's most of the people in the Word of God that you and I look up to are people who had really keen spiritual awareness. People like Moses, who was walking through the desert keeping sheep, and he turned and he saw a bush burning that wouldn't be consumed. And he had just enough spiritual awareness to not just walk by it and write a note about it, thinking, let me just tell you about this cool thing I saw. But he had enough spiritual awareness that he turned and he looked to see what this thing was about. Peter had an angel show up in a prison cell one day. And instead of just saying, angel, this is what's going on, he had enough spiritual awareness to follow him out of that prison. Paul was on a ship that was about to go down in the middle of a storm when an angel showed up, and Paul chose to listen to him instead of just pouring out his issues to him. I'm just telling you, we have to have spiritual awareness that there's help beyond what we can see. See, there's also several accounts in the Word of God that people were unaware. They were spiritually unaware of what was going on. We hear people like Jacob saying things like this in Genesis 26, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place, and I didn't know it. I couldn't see it. We have people like Samson, who took the presence of God for granted. And there's this particular scripture about Samson's life who says the presence of God had left him and he didn't realize it. See, the problem the servant saw was real, but the help he didn't see was just as real. Can I tell you today, the issues you're facing today are very, very real. I'm not denying that. I'm not trying to minimize that. I'm just trying to elevate in your heart, in your life today, that the presence of God and the power of God is just as real and is more powerful than what you do see. I like what Sam Rodriguez says. He says, what God's placed in you is greater than what the devil has placed in front of you. 1 John chapter 4 says this, you are of God, little children, and you're overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That term, little children, that really doesn't get my heart stirring when someone calls me a little child. Does that make you feel good? Someone walks up to you and says, Mark, you're just a little child. Scott, you're just a little child. Does that boost your confidence? Most of us say, I'll show you, little child. You know, we kind of bow up. But that scripture, but you are of God, little children, what does that mean? That's trying to let you understand that the smallness you feel and compared to your obstacle, the smallness you may feel in comparison to your enemy is no limitation to what God can do, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God did not make the servant blind to the real need. He just opened his eyes so he could see God's help in his life. You know, Psalms chapter 34 says this, verse number 7, the angel of the Lord camps around those that fear him and delivers them. Sometimes we just need God to open our eyes to help us see the help of God that's already there. Third, this morning, we have to realize God's help is greater than what we see. God has help beyond what we see. And his help is greater than we see. Elisha didn't just ask God to open the eyes of his servant, but he actually walked out of the city, and he began to speak to this invading army. He began to confuse. God began to confuse the plans of the enemy. I want to tell you today, no matter how great the enemy is against your life today, did you know you have the power to bring confusion to the enemy? Some of you have just confused the enemy mightily this morning. Some of you woke up this morning and you had 1,001 excuses not to come to church, and you came to church anyway. Some of you this morning, the worship set started and you had plenty of reasons why you should just hang your head, put your hands in your pocket. Only everything on the outside says you have no hope, you have no reason to rejoice. There, everything on the outside of your life says you there's no physical reason, no reasonable reason for you to worship God. Everything in your life is going south, but you walked in the house anyway, and you lifted your hands anyway, and you decided God is worthy anyway, God is glorious anyway, God's in control anyway, and you worshiped your hands, and you lifted your hands to the Lord. Can I tell you that brings profound confusion to the enemy when he has thrown hell's best at you, and yet you come in and you worship God anyway? What you're declaring is that God is greater, your faith is greater, your strength is greater than anything hell can throw at you. You have to accept that God's help is greater than what you see. And Elisha walks out and he begins to speak to those enemies, and they don't even recognize that he's the person they're looking for. Can I tell you, obedience to God confuses the enemy. You start doing things, I mean, some of the things the Word of God tells you to do, it confuses you. But it doesn't just confuse you. It confuses the enemy like this. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those that curse you. Show kindness to those who mistreat you. Give despite losses. Serving despite being treated like a servant. Loving those who loathe you. You know, these are all God-inspired instructions that make no sense in the moment, but they bring power to us. I made this statement on Facebook this past week that we don't obey God because it feels good. We obey God because it produces good in your life. Friends, we have to understand that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not with what we can see with our human eyes. But if we will let the Lord open our eyes to what we can't see, we'll understand we have a lot more power with us than those that are against us this morning. And you have to believe that there's a plan beyond us, what I see. Elisha walked out and he led that opposing army into Samaria. He led them into what you and I would call an old-fashioned ambush. He led them into a city where there was no escape. I don't know if you are picturing this or not. Elisha woke up, and the servant is saying, "You're surrounded." And now after just a little bit of a walk and a journey, now God has surrounded those that once surrounded you. I just think that's the picture that God wants someone to pick up this morning, that he is ready to surround those that you thought was surrounding you. And sometimes we find ourselves, we're surrounded, and we pray things like this. Have you ever just prayed, "Lord, get me out of this. God, just get me out of this." That's kind of what the servant woke up bothered about. He said, "Elisha, we're surrounded and there's no way out." You know what he wanted? He wanted a way out. When I get surrounded by my enemies and life goes to the pits, that's what I want. I just want a way out. But God doesn't always want you to get a way out. Sometimes he wants the enemy to get out of your life. Sometimes he wants the enemy to stop bothering you. Sometimes he wants you to be like Moses when he led the children of Israel. So your testimony is this: the enemies you see today, you'll never see again. Sometimes we ask too little from God. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, just get me out of this," instead of saying, "Lord, open my eyes to see what you want to do through this." See, God did not get them out of this. Or he didn't just get them out of this. There's some pretty important words. In verse number 23, the last few words of that scripture says, so the bands of Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. The servant just wanted to get out of the mess. But God was wanting to get the mess out of Israel's territory. Some of you just keep on praying for a moment of escape when God's wanting to deliver you from what has been robbing you and raiding your life. And the way he does that is when we begin to pray, Lord, open my eyes to see what I can't see. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. We're going to pray two different ways today. Here's the first prayer I'm going to challenge you to pray. Is there someone in your life that needs their eyes open? This servant needed his eyes open. He said, Elisha, we're about to be killed. We're about to be wiped out. We're about to be destroyed. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see the help that's with him. Help him see that there's more strength in his life than what he realizes is present. Help him see that there's not just a way out, but there's a way to overcome what's against us today. Some of you in this room, you've got people in your life that they're convinced there's no way out. Some of them are running from God. Some of them have just been overwhelmed by life. Some of them have just determined that it's useless. There's no need in stop and trying to serve God, or there's no hope of restoration or deliverance. There's no hope of rescue. Listen, I want to ask you to do something today. If you got people in your life like that, which I know we all do, I want to ask you to join me in praying for them right now. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, open their eyes right now. Open the eyes of lost sons and daughters. Lord, open their eyes to the salvation that is right before them through Jesus. Lord, open their eyes. Open the eyes of grandkids today who are running from you. Open the eyes of our kids today who are running from you. Let them see the help. Let them see the plan. Let them see the favor. Let them see the joy that's waiting for them the moment they look past what they see. Lord, open their eyes like the prodigal son who just needed, he needed a spiritual awareness that things were better in the Father's house than they were in the world. Do that today. Open people's eyes today. God, I pray you'll open the eyes of the addict this morning. Open the eyes of those who are captured by every sort of addiction today, whether it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, pornography this morning. Lord, addicted to the thought processes of the world. God, I just pray you'll open people's eyes this morning. Use it today. We pray bold prayers. It's not by might, and it's not by our power, but Lord, it's by your Spirit we pray that people's eyes would be open today. And Lord, use us to open people's eyes. Help us recognize the moments you give us to open people's eyes. Secondly, church, I want to ask you to join me in this prayer. Father, open my eyes. Lord, we know no one comes to the Father unless first you draw us to you. Lord, you open our eyes and we come to salvation. But what I believe, there's eye-opening encounters you want us to have beyond salvation. There's more of your love you want us to take taste of. There's more of your power you want us to experience. There's more wisdom and knowledge and more revelation. There's more freedom. Lord, there's more help and there's more hope than we see with our natural eyes. So help us today. Open our eyes to see the goodness of the God we serve. Lord, help us to never be satisfied with what we've seen or what we can see in the natural. Always continue to open our eyes to see more and more of you. Help us today. Open our eyes, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, Pastor, I've been living life with my eyes closed. I've been looking at everything as only as I can see them, not with what God wants me to see. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. I need to change gears today. Amen. 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 There's more than what you see. And by the way, the power of God that you don't see is greater than the things you do see. Father, I just pray right now for every hand that was lifted, every life this morning. They've been so bombarded and controlled. Some have even been disturbed by what they see. God, I pray they'll experience the comfort and the joy and the peace that Lord, they haven't been seeing. That, Lord, there's more than just what they see in the natural. There's a greater army that's with them. It's the army of God. It's the help of God. It's the power of God. Lord, surround their life today. Let them sense the presence of God in the middle of every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.